Now's the time to travel and be with the people you care about the most. And at Holiday Inn and Holiday Inn Express, we're helping you be there for less. Save at least 25% at thousands of hotels worldwide if you book by September 24th. You won't want this moment to pass you by. So book today at holidayinn.com. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Ultimate Podcast. My name is Chris McGlynn, host of the show, as always. It is college nationals time in the Ultimate World. We've got D3 Nationals that just wrapped up a weekend ago, and we'll be talking about all the major results from that, recapping who won, who lost in the final, as well as touching on some of the major individual awards that went out, notably the Donovan Award. And then D1 College Nationals starts this Friday. I'm recording this Thursday night, so I'm just a few hours away from the start of pool play in the D1 College National Championship Tournament. Very excited to be talking about all of that. I'll be breaking down what I think the toughest pool is in each division, the best pool play game to watch in each division, and also talking to a player who will be on the field in Texas this upcoming weekend. Mary Rippey is our guest this week. She plays with UNC Pleiades and is also a member of Raleigh Phoenix in the women's club division, so very excited to be chatting with her. We'll be previewing this tournament, talking about her upcoming summer events, which include the U24 mixed team playing on Phoenix likely once again, and also talking about how she found the sport, some of the interesting things that she's encountered as a transfer student moving from NYU to then go down and play at UNC. Lots of great stuff coming up in just a little bit, so stick around for that interview. Let's dive in, though. We got a loaded episode. I'm going to talk about first about D3, and then we'll get into previewing D1. So congratulations to the national champions in the D3 division. We've got Oberlin winning the women's division and Middlebury winning in the men's division, both of them taking home national titles. Oberlin, not quite a surprise the fact that they won, but a little bit in the fashion they did. They breezed by Bates, ended up winning this game 13-7 in the final. Middlebury, on the other hand, played a little bit closer in a rematch from earlier this season with Air Force. These were the top two teams heading into the tournament, and this is the finals matchup that I think most people predicted to see. In the end, Middlebury topped Air Force 15-12. So congratulations to both teams. It was definitely a very, very compelling tournament. Managed to handle a lot of weather issues that came their way, a lot of inclement weather, not necessarily heat-related, but there was a tornado watch at one point, so a little bit crazy to see some of the weather that ended up affecting D3 Nationals. The Donovan Award winners, congratulations to Josie Gallette of Bates Cold Front, congratulations to her, played a phenomenal season, and honestly could have won last year, had a great individual campaign. I believe actually led nationals a year ago in assists and once again put on a show, leading her team to the national championship game and far and away the best player in the women's D3 college division this year. And then on the men's side, Alan Villanueva ended up winning from Air Force Afterburn, had a great season. This is not a surprise from either side of this. Josie is a well-known commodity in the D3 women's scene. And for Alan, he actually was, I believe, a fixture of Johnny Bravo last year. So he has high-level club experience, and it's not a surprise at all to see his name called. I think, actually, if I remember correctly, hearing this earlier this week, UltiWorld named him their runner-up as the player of the year each of the last two seasons. So nice to see him finally getting some recognition for his great play in the division. So congratulations to everyone who's taking home some silverware. It was another great season for D3. I know we didn't touch on it a ton this year. I'll look to try and maybe incorporate it more into the shows going forward, giving a little more focus to it. But always really fun to see the D3 Nationals. It's the really only time of the entire year we get the nation's best D3 teams together because of how limited travel opportunities there are and how few opportunities there are to get all of these D3 teams playing at one tournament. So always great to see a lot of fun action there for sure. Let's go now to D1. We've got our D1 crash course here. I'm going to break down the best pools in each division as well as talking about the best pool play game to watch. So for those of you who are unaware, UNC is actually the number one seed in both divisions. Dark Side on the men's side has to be the favorite to repeat. They've got some tough competition. Brown, Pittsburgh, and Cal Poly Slow are the other top seeds. I'm going to go with Pool C as I think the toughest pool that we're going to see in terms of how this is all going to shake out. I think we're going to see some upsets here. This is a really, really competitive pool. Pittsburgh is the top seed here, but they actually are coming off a loss at regionals to Ohio State. Oregon is the number two seed in this pool. They are a semifinals team from a year ago. Lots of great experience there. And won Northwest Regionals, topping Washington in the game to go. Wisconsin is in this region, in this pool as well as the three seed. They are fresh off of beating Carleton Cut to take the last spot out of the North Central. So very impressive resume coming in and seem to be on the rise. Then we've got Tufts. Tufts might be a team that's not on a ton of people's radar. However, Tufts beat UMass, another top team, probably the second best team to miss out at Nationals this year, to take the final spot and move on to Nationals this year out of the Northeast. And then we've got Victoria, another Northwest team here. They are a little bit of a wild card. You never really know exactly what to expect, but oftentimes have shown that they are more than capable of running with the top teams in the country. They've looked really, really strong out of the Northwest region over the last couple of years, and expect to see another good showing from them as well. Looking at the top, the best pool play game I think we're going to see the entire weekend, and the reason why I only choose pool play is because those are the only matchups we know for sure. Everything else is going to be to be determined based on the results that we see during pool play. So with that in mind, I'm going with the 5-9 matchup, actually, not in Pool C, but in Pool D. We're going to see Colorado play Washington, and the reason why I'm picking this is Colorado has gotten consistently better over the course of this year and actually hasn't lost a game since, I want to say, the Sunday of Stanford Invite, which means that they went through, I know they won Centex, they won their conference championships, and they won regionals. So this is a team that's peaking at the right time. I think they've been working towards this over the course of the season, and I think they've kind of flown under the radar. They almost are a very quiet 5 seed overall in the tournament, which is an odd thing to say, but it's true. They've definitely put together an impressive resume, and I'm excited to see them taking on Washington. One, because these two teams haven't played yet this year, but on the flip side of that, Washington actually has a win over Brown. We've seen them play at an extremely high level at times this year. If the best version of Washington shows up, they are more than capable of winning this pool. They've lost twice to Cal Poly Slow this year, who's the top seed in this pool, but both times they've been pretty close games, and I think Washington definitely has a lot of potential to put it all together, and a team that has experience doing well at Nationals in the past, and that means something. It really means a lot when you get into this 4-day tournament. It's a completely different monster than anything else that teams have faced the entire year, and I think sometimes having that experience of being there before, being in those big situations, will make the difference. So I'm very excited to watch this game. I think it's going to be a great showdown. Now let's wrap around to the women's division. This will lead us right into our interview with Mary. I'm actually going to go with Pool A as being the toughest pool, UNC's pool, and I'll dive into that in just a second. The top seeds outside of UNC, Ohio State is the top seed in Pool B, UC San Diego, the top seed in Pool C, and Carleton Syzygy, the top seed in Pool D. Now, if you're wondering where the reigning national champion from last year, that would be Dartmouth Princess Layout, or I believe they're actually just going under Dartmouth Ultimate now going forward. They are 100% in the mix to win this again. They are the 5 seed overall, and while I was very tempted to pick Pool D because of that Carleton-Dartmouth at the top, I ended up going with Pool A. This is a loaded pool. UNC's at the top. Pittsburgh, a semifinals team from a year ago, is in the mix again. They've struggled a little bit down the stretch, but I still think having that experience makes a big deal. UCLA, one of the, I guess, surprise teams coming out of the Southwest. They took Stanford's bid and have looked strong throughout points of the season. I'm excited to see how they fare against other teams outside of their region. Colorado is here as well, a team that has a ton of history. Cali was a semifinalist last year and actually played in the national championship game. That type of experience is invaluable, even if they lost some key pieces. And then the bottom seed in this pool is Oregon, which is almost unbelievable. Oregon has Ella Hansen, among another slew of other players that are very talented, have experience playing at Nationals deep into the bracket, as well as playing on national teams. The fact that Oregon is the final seed in this pool is a very scary prospect for everyone seated above them. And I think it kind of gives them almost a green light to say, hey, we're just going to go attack this thing. Clearly, there are expectations for Oregon Fugue. but I feel like it's a little bit different now with them being the last seed here. It takes some of the pressure off, and that might actually be a really good thing for them. So we'll see. I think this is going to be the best pool by far in terms of the overall competitive balance. There's going to be some upsets, no question, whether or not you think it's genuinely based on the level of talent available, but definitely by seed. I don't think this pool is going to go to seed. I think it's going to be some very interesting finishes. I'm really excited to see how this pool shakes out. In terms of the best pool play game to watch, once again, I'm going with a 5-9 matchup, actually. I can't seem to get away with this. I'll get away from this. And the reason being is I'm really excited to see Dartmouth play against Texas. And I know this seems a little bit odd to go with these two teams. However, they have a little bit of history. They played in the national championship game 2 years ago, so they know each other well. A lot of the players that were involved in those games are still there, so there's definitely a little bit of that rivalry that goes on. And I think these are just two really storied programs in the women's division that are going to put on a show. Dartmouth is out to show that all of the rumors and all of the hype we've heard around them being done, that the reign is over, is complete nonsense. And I think Texas is very much enjoying the fact that they're going to be at home, they're going to have the home crowd, they're going to take advantage of that. I'm really excited to see this game. I think it's going to be an awesome showcase of two great teams, and I don't think that home field advantage can be discounted. So it's definitely something to keep in mind. Overall, though, this is going to be an awesome weekend. 28 games are being streamed between USA Ultimate and UltiWorld. They're going to be all over the place. YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, you can check them all out there. I'll be watching as much as I possibly can because I love this tournament. It's always one of my best. Unfortunately, I will not be able to go down to Round Rock and be part of the action this year, but still trying to stay as involved and as close to it as possible. So with that in mind, let's talk to one of the players who will be on the field this weekend. Very excited to bring Mary on right now. So stay tuned. You guys will hear from her in just a second. I am joined now by Mary Rippey, one of the members of UNC Pleiades and a member of the U24 mixed national team this upcoming summer, heading out to Heidelberg, Germany. Mary, thank you very much for joining me.
Yeah, I'm super excited. Thanks for asking.
Of course. And for a little bit of background as well, I will say Mary and I actually went to high school together. We played a little bit together back in high school at Westfield High School.
I don't even know if I actually played.
You did. You played
around a little bit, you know.
You got your exposure to Ultimate, I feel like, first in high school. So actually, let's start with that. I always like to ask people how they found the sport. What brought you in originally to the sport of Ultimate?
Right. Well, it was definitely Sadie Jazerski, as we both know. I'm pretty sure, well, I played a little bit my freshman year of high school. I don't remember how that happened. I think it was because, so a couple of our friends, like Sarah included, wanted to play on the team, convinced by like a seventh or eighth grade English teacher. I'm so sure about that. And I think I just tagged along for a couple of practices, had no idea what I was doing, like absolutely no idea. Did not play like a team sport before, and so I like kind of dropped off after that. And then when Sadie was trying to form a women's team for states our senior year, got roped back in for like 2 months, 3 months, and then we like played at states and we got second. Granted, it was out of third, but like I don't know, that was a pretty cool experience. I was pretty convinced that like I wasn't going to play going into college. Just because I couldn't throw, I had no idea what was going on, so it didn't seem like something that I'd probably pursue. But
to be completely honest with you, it took me probably 3 years to learn how to throw a disc. Like actually, a forehand. I could throw a backhand at first. Yeah, it took a little while to really get that all down. But that's funny, yeah, you know, because I think that is a lot of people's first, you know, kind of introduction to it. Where, you know, you get your friends that like are like, hey, you should come check this out. I mean, that's essentially what happened to me, was just like, hey, you should come check this out. And it's funny because you look at it, you're like, oh, well, I won't get roped into this. And then all of a sudden, you know, you look back and, you know, here you are now 5 years later and you've played all throughout your college career, played club, played all over the place. I mean, we'll dive into some of the fact that you're on a national team coming up soon, too. So it is funny to hear like kind of the initial reservations about really being heavily involved. Let's actually talk about that transition from high school to college, because it's not an easy one, especially for someone who maybe doesn't know if they want to play in college. You actually started at NYU, so what exactly was the decision-making process to continue to play once you got to college?
Yeah, so every college kind of has their own version of like fall fest, you know, or club fest in the beginning of either fall or spring semester. In this case, we had one in the fall. And I was going around trying to find things to sign up for. And I think this just like kind of goes to show how important like recruiting in the sense of just being a happy, like enjoyable person to be around. Because when I was going by these tables, one of the captains at the time just kind of, you know, was being very like social and really kind and really nice and asking people questions when they came by, and it, you know, it happened to be Ultimate Frisbee, and asked if I had ever played, if I wanted to play, if I wanted to like, you know, just come to tryouts, and it was just really, really engaging. And it made me really want to make the team. And I remember, I think I was really nervous at tryouts actually. I remember like going to tryouts, and we were doing like was it shuttle runs? I think it was like 40s or something like that. And on like the first or second tryout, I tripped at the very end.
Oh, no.
And got laid out on our turf, like to cross the finish line, basically. And then I made like one of my really good friends at NYU at that time, because she just like laughed at me. She was like, what a try hard, like who's doing this? So it turned out well, but yeah, that's kind of how I got into the NYU Frisbee team. Just like the team wanting to meet people and being really like active and engaging and wanting anyone and everyone to come, no matter what skill level. And I like really, really appreciated that.
I mean, that's I think really one of the founding things of a lot of Ultimate teams. And there are obviously schools out there, UNC now where you are at being one of them, where you do know you have this kind of infusion of talent every year that comes in, players that have participated at a high level at the, you know, when they play in high school, have been playing honestly for a long time by the time they reach college. But for most schools, the players that make the difference for the roster and stuff like that are players that maybe have really never played before, only kind of are vaguely familiar with the sport. And that is a huge part, is trying to get people to commit early on, especially when, you know, maybe you aren't the most competitive team in the world. You need to really create that fun culture and that atmosphere that everyone wants to be around. So, and this is actually a really unique thing, because I think you're the first person I've ever talked to on this show that has actually transferred schools and continue to play Ultimate while doing so. That's a unique situation. It's not something I feel like we hear a whole lot about. I know there are players, of course, across the Ultimate landscape that transfer. It's just a natural thing that occurs during college, but it's not too often that you hear it and then you see the result of later down the line of you obviously then continuing your Ultimate career and it really being a huge jump in your development. So, first of all, so you transferred from NYU to UNC. What was that kind of, I guess, what was the process then of going in, not being a freshman, trying to make the team when you showed up?
So I think this is a little different. I transferred, so after my sophomore year, transferred to UNC, was in the process of deciding whether I wanted to even try out for the A team, and then decided to not try out for the A team. So I played on the B team for my first year, and then I made Phoenix that summer, and then I made Pleiades the next year. So it was not a traditional path, but I am very grateful for it. I think like last year, a lot of my Pleiades teammates, some asked if I like regretted not trying out for Pleiades my first year, and I think like maybe, yes, I would have developed in certain areas quicker, but having that experience on the B team, I think made me just realize that I could be good without having like that accolade behind me, you know, that I could push myself and I could work hard and I could study kind of on my own and build and develop, like help build and develop a team for the most part. And that I had that like agency to do so. I've seen players come into like very high level teams and be nervous to like try new things or nervous about finding their place on the team and not like progress as fast as say if they had, you know, started off on a B team or started off on a team that wasn't as competitive. And I'm not saying like, don't join your A team. Like that's totally not it at all. But I see like some of my B team teammates, who have just like completely blossomed because they're the do-it-all player on their team right now, you know? And I think they could give like a lot of really great players in the area a run for their money because they get all the touches, you know? And granted, you don't have the same like competition to play against over and over, but I think there is something to really be said about getting all those reps in and being that person, just building your confidence. That can translate really well, you know, when you go into a higher level team. So I don't regret it at all. It was just like a different pathway.
I mean, it's a very different pathway, but clearly it worked for you. And I think it's interesting to hear you say now that you feel like it worked out better. And I think a lot of what you touched on really makes a lot of sense. It's one of those things where you do get a ton of opportunities early on. And I know, I mean, yeah, it is hard when you show up and maybe you are a player who is good enough to make the team, but maybe not good enough to really demand all of the playing time that you were able to get on UNCB at that time. And the funny thing I should mention too is like UNCB, you guys, it's not like it's a bad team. Like you guys are still, like it's still a very good team. You guys are very competitive, and I mean, there's some really good schools down in the Triangle and really just that area of the country where you guys still managed to play against decent competition. And it wasn't like it was like, oh, well, yeah, we really just kind of goofed around. Like, it is now become a pipeline. UNC, you know, Pleiades obviously pulls up some players every year from the B team. I think it's really funny to me, though, that you went and played B team and then made Phoenix, which is like a Nationals-level club team that summer.
Yeah, I think that so I'm so sure that the only reason I made the team that year was because they lost like 14 people. And I was one of the I was that person on the field at tryouts who just like would not stop running and moving. And so I would like to think that the coaches and captains at the time were like, oh shoot, like this girl has a work ethic. She wants it. Maybe we can develop her. God bless. So I truly think that like, and I like did not really play in games that year, which is totally expected. Like I literally could not throw a forehand. Like I absolutely could not do it. especially like my hands were sweaty and I was like, I can't move at all. Like I can't do it. So like just having that experience was really great too.
Well, I think that it gives you that little bit more to build on for yourself. It's that, you know, it's the reward for all the hard work you put in, which is great, but then at the same time, it gives you almost more incentive to continue working hard. You then feel like, okay, well, I've made it this far. Well, how much further can I make it now? And okay, cool. Like now I want to prove myself to my club teammates that I deserve to be here. So it is kind of like there's two parts to it where it's like, oh, cool. Like, you know, my efforts have been rewarded, but you don't want to give up then. You want to make sure that you keep pushing yourself so that way you can feel like, hey, like I'm ready to be on this team. I deserve to be here. Which I mean, at this point, there's no question you are one of the you know top defenders right now in the women's club division or the women's college division, and then developing into so as the at the club division as well. So at what point do you like look back and realize like, oh wow, like I'm like on the U24 team? Like, you know, think about where you were 4 years ago, where you're like, okay, I'm not really sure I want to even play in college. And now here you fast forward 4 years and you're literally playing on the international team going to compete in Germany.
Yeah, that's, my stomach just got butterflies. I'm a little nervous about it, not gonna lie. So I had two teammates. I think it was my first year on Phoenix, 2017, I want to say. So Lindsay Sue and Jenny Wei, who made the women's team, the U24 team. And that's kind of like when I was first heard about it, basically. And I like very much looked up to those players and still look up to those players and how they conduct themselves on the field and, you know, just their intelligence and all that sort of stuff. And I kind of made it my goal to just get a tryout because at that time I was going to be a senior going into my senior year. I was a no name, you know, like didn't really have like any of those accolades behind me. And I wanted to just get a tryout because I wanted to prove that you didn't need to come from a big program to, you know, be talented or be good. And then I ended up getting a tryout and I almost lost my lost my, what's a better word? Poop. I was just like, I was so excited about it. Yeah, it, I think like took a lot of work, or at least for me, I feel like it took a lot of work to try to make up for like lost time when it came to like strategy and figuring out what to do in the moment. Like, I feel like I've always been a fairly athletic person, and which is why I've always played defense. So I've had a lot of time to like figure out, you know, how to play defense. But I don't think I've necessarily didn't have the same amount of reps as a lot of my like club teammates and college teammates had against like very high level players. So I just remember like starting that summer on Phoenix, just deciding to commit to like watch a lot of film. And it kind of started like the year before on the B team, but like watching a lot of film, figuring out like what makes a good ultimate player. I watched so much like tape of Sarah Griffith, basically.
That is a great person to watch.
Her footwork, one, but also her positioning. She's so intelligent on the field. And I think I was watching her when she was on Riot. Yeah, maybe like 2014, 2015, maybe a little earlier than that. She was the type of defensive player that I wanted to be. And so I just like watched a lot and studied a lot and read a lot about what people talked about. And I knew I had the athleticism and hopefully the smarts to kind of try to develop that into my game. And I think like as, you know, the years have gone on, I've gotten more reps. I've kind of started to figure out like, I mean, everyone is told like the standards of how to play defense and, you know, what to do. And I think I'm kind of figuring out the point of where you can be creative with certain things and figure out, I don't know, just in the moment what's the best way to go. So that's been super, super fun.
I mean, we've got a true film junkie on our hands if you're watching Sarah Griffith. Trust me, Serge is one of the top players in the game and an excellent role model. I mean, in a lot of aspects of the game to follow, defense especially. So I think it's really neat to hear that you picked her out and is somebody you like to model your game after. Because, I mean, first of all, it's no secret that she is a phenomenal player. But I think it's really interesting to know, you know, there is no tie for Serge to North Carolina. You just happen to pick out somebody who you thought played very similar to the style of play you wanted to reach and then managed to model your game around that. And I like to say that you're doing pretty well so far. You're off to a pretty good start.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Wow.
And I think what's really cool too is that you're actually now taking some of this devotion that you have to the studying of film and stuff like that actually into now impacting some of the stuff you're doing off the field. I think this is the first time, I'm not positive, but I think you actually just had your first article published on UltiWorld. Which was very neat. You had a chance to help write some of the Premier Ultimate League recap, the throw around that goes up every week, covering obviously your local Raleigh Radiance team. But you know, what was the decision making process for you to get involved in kind of the ultimate media scene?
Well, I initially applied to the FWD program that UltiWorld was doing, and made it as a finalist, and they wanted someone who would be able to like attend more of the club season events, but I'd either be playing in them or away, so it kind of didn't work out. Keith kind of reached out about potentially just doing some other work over the summer and seeing if that could be a good fit. So I talked to a few people and we kind of like decided that maybe doing some sort of like film room stuff would be a little more up my alley, and doing some like highlight videos and also the PUL throw around, since I'll probably be going to like most of the games and it'll probably just be helpful. So that's kind of where that started. And I don't know, I wanted to start or try to contribute in some sort of way, because I feel like I am starting to get to that level where I want to talk about what I think and the ideas that I have, and I'm 100% fine being challenged, and I'm 100% fine challenging other people. I think of it as less of like a gender thing, as in like a woman who wants to be, you know, in the media, and more just like a person who wants to be in the media, who happens to be a woman, who isn't afraid to challenge others and who isn't afraid to also be challenged. So that's kind of where that came from. And I'm so like excited and happy that they gave me an opportunity.
Well, I mean, that's an amazing mindset to take into this. I commend you for having that, because it is. I mean, it is, I will fully acknowledge there are not too many women that are involved in Ultimate Media right now. And it is definitely a tougher path, I feel like, to gain some sort of level of acceptance or anything like that. But I love that the fact that you're like, well, yeah, I'm going to get challenged, but I'm also going to challenge people back. And I think that's an amazing mindset, because that is, I mean, that is crucial to this point. You know, Ultimate Media has grown so much over the last few years, but yet it's still so much in its infancy, and there's still so much room for development and growth. So I think it's really interesting to hear that you've got some unique ideas you're going to push out there. I'm very excited for when those May Rippey film rooms start coming out, because that'll be fun.
I'm really nervous about that, not going to lie, because I don't know, in my head I'm like, oh yeah, like I can analyze that, like I have good ideas, and then I don't know, I think about it, I'm like, oh my God, what am I going to do? Like, what if all of my ideas or like all of my observations are just, you know, nonsensical or whatnot? I don't know. I'm sure it'll turn out fine, but I think it's just those nerves. So
it's hard. I mean, the first time that you put yourself out there in any form of published work is not easy. I mean, if you really want to go and make yourself feel better, go listen to the first episode of the show, and you can count the number of times that I say or like, and I'm not joking. It is bad. And I didn't notice it until I finally started doing it. And it takes repetition to get better at it. I have no doubt that like a few times into it for you, you will be just, you know, be crushing it. Like you have the mindset and the mentality of a high level defensive ultimate player. Sometimes it just takes a few reps to actually get the right terminology and how you want it to be phrased and framed out there. You know, it takes a few times for you to actually feel comfortable saying what you want to say. I'm not joking when I tell you, if you go back and listen to that first one, it's pretty rough. Even the first few episodes of the show, it's pretty rough. It took me a long time to really get better at it. And even still, I'm probably still working on it. I'm definitely still, I think I'm still just improving as I go. Hopefully, I hope that I'm actually improving. We'll see. People might disagree with me on that one, but no, it's really neat to hear that you're going to be involved. And I appreciate any of the opportunities. I've had a bunch of opportunities from Ulti World as well, over the last year or so now, a chance to go. I saw you actually out at Club Nationals when you were playing out there. So it is, I mean, that is funny to me that, yeah, it's like, well, sorry, I probably can't make it to that tournament to cover for you because I'm playing in it. But, you know, like, that's a pretty good reason to miss a tournament for, you know, working for the media.
Yeah, that's pretty fair.
So, and before we dive into anything else that you're doing this summer, we have to talk about what is the most important thing that you have coming up, which is College Nationals. Congratulations, you guys are looking like you're going to be the number one seed heading into Austin, Texas. First of all, and that's the most likely situation at this point. How do you feel about that, knowing that, hey, I'm on the number one team in the country?
Right. I'm so like overwhelmingly grateful to be specifically on this team this year. I think everyone has worked, like everyone down the entire roster has worked incredibly hard to build the team that we have now. And I'm sure, obviously, every college team can say that. They're just like a little spark of madness, I feel like, that is very good, you know? Spark of madness breeds creativity, breeds just like passion. Yeah, it feels really good. It's also a little personally nerve-wracking because, you know, there's kind of like a target on your back. And there's also like debate as to if like we are the number one team or not, you know? Like, I think anyone who's in the top four can basically argue that like they're the number one, you know? So I would be super happy with that seating. And I'm also happy that, you know, we as a team are not going into practice being like, we are the number one, you know, like that is absolutely not the stance that we have. That is absolutely not the mindset. We know we have weaknesses and we are actively like working to make them our strengths. And I'm like, I feel like I've played on teams before where like we have tried to rest on our laurels or have been very happy if we are in a, you know, top echelon or top tier or something like that. And it feels like we are not doing that.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously a crucial time of year where you're coming off of regionals. I think this is a very interesting time because you graduate tomorrow. So first of all, congratulations. But then after that, you have essentially 2 weeks where you just get to prep for nationals. I know you're starting a full-time job, so, you know, the free time that you have to actually work on things probably gets cut down just a little bit. But I mean, how does it feel now? You're like, you're done with school, you don't have class, but yet you're now going to be prepping to go continue to work, and now you've got 2 weeks that you got to iron out anything that you possibly could heading into the culmination of your season.
I feel like we are 1 week into that already, because finals kind of, for the most part, ended for everyone basically at the end of last week. So we're about a week into that, and it does feel like, you know, everything has kind of been prepping for nationals thus far. Our coach has us trying to actively throw every single day a certain amount of throws and posting it on one of our Slack channels, what we do. There is definitely this push from leadership to make this a priority all the way through nationals, you know, no matter what happens. So it feels good to be able to, sorry about that. I don't know how to turn this off. It feels good to be able to spend a lot of time and focus with all of our teammates present, because everyone is staying despite, you know, classes being over. That feels really good. And I think the push is happening at a really good time. I think we honestly are starting to peak, which is ideal.
It's a good time of year to peak.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we also, I want to also say that we have an incredible amount of support from the men's team, UNC Darkside, and their coaches as well. We had Matt Gutjohannes and Elijah Long and a handful, like when I say handful, I mean like 10 other Darkside players come out and scrimmage against us, doing specific things based on our weaknesses and really helping us work through certain offensive and kind of defensive, but mostly offensive looks. That is tremendous. I mean, to have like that caliber level of players come out and want to help us I'm just good people, genuinely very, very good people. And I think we're very fortunate to have much closer programs this year. So that's really awesome.
I mean, you mentioned Darkside and the fact, I think it's mind boggling. You look at the playing field and see, okay, UNC Pleiades looking like the number one seed heading into nationals. You guys were the number one team in the USA Ultimate rankings at the end of the regular season. UNC Darkside, also looking like the number one seed going into nationals, finishes the year as the number one team in the USA Ultimate rankings. What are you guys doing at UNC that just churns out really good Ultimate players?
Gosh, I honestly think it comes from leadership. Like, a lot of the... I will say, I think we have more men on Darkside who have started in the program, like in the Triangle program, who are now senior leaders than we do women. That's changing now because we have players like Sydney Ryder, Dawn, you know, a lot of like homegrown talent coming into the program as young, you know, as freshmen. But when it comes to like senior talent, I think there are more men who have grown up in the program and who have more years of like having that coaching and playing within a system. And I think that's been extremely helpful for just like passing that information along and that information onto our team as well. There's a lot of like very nice camaraderie. And I think the guys are very willing to help out. I think they're also getting a lot better at not just like giving information to women, you know, because sometimes it's overwhelming and sometimes it just like isn't really necessary. But I definitely want to credit like a good amount of the Darkside guys and especially the leadership for being very sensitive to that and for wanting to like share with us as well. I feel like pretty removed from that because I've never been leadership. But I do believe that there probably is like a good amount of like sharing going on there. And that's so freaking cool.
It is really cool. That's the best way I can say it as well.
Yeah.
it's really neat to hear that you've got the two top teams in the country working together to try and essentially help the other one get better and get ready for nationals. That is a really, really neat thing. And I think probably pretty unique to, I mean, I can't say unique to UNC because there are a lot of schools that actually this year, I think we're, I want to say 13 maybe or something like that, 13, 14 schools that are actually sending both men's and women's teams to D1 nationals, which is really, really neat. I think, and it's probably a testament to, you've got these schools that just are ultimate schools at this point. They you have your well-established programs. They know what it takes every year to get prep for it. And I think there probably has to be some correlation between the interactions between both teams and the willingness to build not just, you know, the men's program or the women's program, but to build a college-wide program that supports and develops players all the way through, especially when you, I mean, you, North Carolina has arguably the best youth scene in the country, maybe other than like Seattle. I know Seattle is the only other one that really competes with it. And I know you're probably biased and going to say
you would clap back at that one.
Oh, I know that. I know that. Trust me. I've talked to hockey artists on this show before. I know Mike, and Mike obviously would argue with me about that.
Right. Yeah.
But at the same time, I mean, it's those are the top two right now. There's no question about that. Mm-hmm. I think it's North Carolina, Seattle, and then kind of everybody else falling from there. And there's some other really good programs out there. That's not to knock on anybody else, but it is amazing to see just what and how that now translates to the college level. You talk about the leadership. I mean, you look at those Triangle Tourists are pretty freaking amazing. So you already see the next wave of North Carolina women coming. Like it's not a secret anymore of how good these players are going to be. And I think over the next few years we'll start to see some more of those players who were in leadership levels at or leadership positions at the YCC level start to take over and maybe start being more involved with Phoenix or with Pleiades. And we'll continue to see that. And I think it's really exciting, I think, for the long-term future of Ultimate in that area. But it's also just really exciting in general for the long-term future of Ultimate because, I mean, we love, admittedly, as a fan of the sport, I love when you get a chance to sit back and see what looks to be just a loaded field of teams. And that's what it looks like at Women's Nationals this year because, I mean, I'd say probably 1 through 5 or 6 are all legitimate national title contenders. I mean, you could go down that line and you could make a case for any of those teams, probably the top 6 or so teams, to genuinely compete for a national championship. So then I'll put you on the spot now and ask you real quick before we get through wrapping this up, why are you guys going to win a national championship? Because I know that's the mentality.
Because it's been said, you know, throughout this whole season, we are definitely the deepest team. And we have been growing, like we grow every single tournament. And I think, I don't know, I've listened to stuff that's come out about like, oh, well, Pleiades, you know, having a scare at regionals doesn't look too good. I assure you, we look so freaking good after regionals. And I haven't played in the series yet because I was out with a concussion for sectionals and regionals. So I was on the sideline, and for that semis game when we were down like 6-8, I was crying, not gonna lie. I was crying thinking that we were gonna lose.
Oh my gosh.
Something changed in our D-line and in our mentality, and Ella Youngs popped off, which was also pretty helpful. and we just
Tends
got it
helpful.
And we kept riding that into the finals game, and I see it now on the field. There is just a difference. And again, like having help from other coaches and other players, bringing in additional perspectives is extremely helpful. And I really do think we are riding that train. We are better than we were at Northwest. We are better than we were at regionals. We're continuing to peak. We want it. We really, really want it. And I think it's easy for all teams to say, like, you know, yeah, we're out there. We really want it. It feels different. It feels so different. I don't know. I want it not only for myself because I think we deserve it because we are hardworking and talented, but I want it for my teammates. Like Ann Worth is, I feel like I fangirl over Ann Worth all the time, so I might just stop here. But Ann Worth puts in so much effort on and off the field to work with Elizabeth Parker and Rebecca Fagan to make this team what it is. All of our leadership is extremely invested in everyone's growth and everyone's potential. And yeah, I mean, I could keep going on, but I also don't want to like talk specifically about like Pleiades nuances because I don't want to like, I don't know.
No, you can't give away strategy.
But yeah,
you can't give away strategy or anything like
right.
that. I think it is really interesting to hear. I think it's fun to hear your buy-in just not from the perspective of like, oh, we want to go out there and we want to beat other teams. It's more, we trust each other and we know what it takes and we're willing to play for each other. We want to play for each other. We want to pick each other up. And, you know, while yes, like you, I'm sure personally would love a national championship, you, I think, even more want to win a national championship with this team around you. You want to win it with this group because you feel like it's such a special group. And obviously, as we've seen over the course of the year, it is a very special group. So with that in mind, and I think you're clearly very excited, and I don't blame you for it. I'm very excited to see how you guys look out on the field in Austin. But I'll leave you with this, because you clearly have gone through a tremendous amount of development over the course of your ultimate career, and you put in a ton of time and effort outside, off the field. There's so much that goes into it. Why do you continue to come back? It's a demanding sport. There's a ton of rigors that come with it. The injuries, the overall just physical toll it takes on your body and everything, among other things. Why do you continue to come back to the sport of ultimate?
I think for two reasons. One of which is that there's always something I never feel like I do well enough. And I'm a competitive person, mostly with myself. And so I always want to go out there and prove myself wrong, basically. Prove that, like, I can make that throw, or prove that, like, I can play defense on this person. I can develop and grow and become better and work on my mental game. There's always something to work on and improve. And that is just, like, addicting to me, to be quite honest. When it comes to, like, ultimate specifically, I mean, flow and chemistry and timing, it's like, it's kind of, this sounds kind of cheesy, but to me, it's kind of like music on a field. You know, there's something so beautiful and addicting about having something like flow so well, you know, and about seeing really incredible things happen that is not only like a big play, but also like smooth and consistent. And yeah, I just think like that is also just incredible to be a part of, especially, I mean, I think of like U24 tryouts. Sorry. I think of I'm so sorry. I don't know how to turn that off. U24 tryouts. I think it was the first day where we were doing HOSTAC, and I was cutting with Claire Trope and two other cutters. I just remember Claire because I just thought she was really funny.
Claire stands out.
Yeah, she also stands out. We were also staying in like the same house, so we kind of like had chatted beforehand. And the communication on the field was just so awesome, and the flow felt so good. The clearing and cutting just felt incredible, and I don't think I've ever had like so much fun playing ultimate than I did at the U24 tryout. Well, I guess that's not true. I love playing with Pleiades, especially late into the season, but like I think that was the first time in a long time in November when I just had like the most fun playing ultimate. I just love when things run really well.
I mean, hey, that's a great thing to fall in love with, and something to continue to strive for. I think it's pretty neat to hear, because that's a unique answer. I've been asking this question a lot, and I don't think anybody has ever told me anything to do with the on-the-field play regarding just the movement and everything else. I think it's a very interesting. It gives you a lot of insight into how you approach the game and stuff like that, and I think it's pretty cool. So, Mary, good luck on what you have coming up for the rest of the year. I'm very excited to see you guys compete out of Nationals in Austin. I'll be doing my best to watch. Wish I could be there. Unfortunately, will not be, but do my best to watch as much as possible. And once again, congratulations on graduating, because I know that's a pretty big milestone. So, and good luck with starting a full-time job. You've got a lot going on right now. There's a lot to be excited about. Enjoy it all.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
We just wrapped up talking to Mary Rippey. Big thanks to her for coming on the show. Really appreciate her taking some time in a very busy time of year for her. She's got college graduations, prepping for college nationals, of course. And I think really, really neat to give us some insight into how she approaches her film study, who she models her game after. Sarah Griffith, a great choice. One of my favorite players to watch, and I think it's just really cool that she gave us some of that personal info, and I think that's always a really neat thing to learn about a player as well. You get a chance to hear who they really try and model their game after. I think that's always a really neat thing to hear, and just fun to kind of see how Ultimate continues to build and how people become role models for younger players as they step up into the next role in their career. So really, really neat to hear all that from Mary, and once again, thank you so much, Mary, for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. Working on guests for future episodes. I don't have anything lined up as of right now. College Nationals is always a crazy time of year, so it's hard to nail down any interviews right now, but hopefully we'll have something to announce in the next week or so, and it won't be too long after College Nationals wraps up that we will have a new episode out there recapping all the action, as well as to hopefully talking to some of the people who were involved with playing in the tournament. As always, the show is on Stitcher, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. Feel free to go on and subscribe as well, so that way you get notified whenever a new episode comes out featuring a great new guest. If you're looking to interact with the show on social media, we're on Twitter at The Ultimate Cast and on Facebook at The Ultimate Podcast. You can go on and check it out there. Always appreciate feedback about the show. Definitely makes the show a lot better when I'm hearing from the community, so really appreciate that. With that in mind, feel free to go on as well and rate the show and give us some honest feedback. It always helps in terms of getting more people to see it. Then it helps place the show in terms of algorithm searches, but also helps me in terms of shaping the show and how it should be going forward. So always appreciate that kind of feedback. So enjoy your weekend, everyone. Hope everyone enjoys College Nationals. I know I will be.
Now's the time to travel and be with the people you care about the most. And at Holiday Inn and Holiday Inn Express, we're helping you be there for less. Save at least 25% at thousands of hotels worldwide if you book by September 24th. You won't want this moment to pass you by. So book today at holidayinn.com. Terms and conditions apply.
Now is the chance to use reliable energy to grow your money with the Dominion Energy Reliability Investment. Our new investment product offers competitive returns, no maintenance fees, and flexible online access to your money. Make the reliable investment in reliable energy. The Dominion Energy Reliability Investment. To find out more, go online to reliabilityinvestment.com. That's reliabilityinvestment.com.